This is a really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Mark Charter. Mark Charter. Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast. We're here at Charterhouse Real Estate.
We got some
in the background
heavy shenanigans happening right now.
Ted Flynn is mixing up a drink. And that's how we're starting today's podcast.
He's doing something.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
By the way,
he's mixing up a drink.
By the way, happy birthday to Chris Williams.
Thank you.
Hey, do we want to say how old you are?
33.
God, you're young.
Youngin.
I feel old.
You're young.
I had forgotten that today was my birthday until yesterday when Matt Leisure.
You forgot it was your own,
me and
your
he's
own
like,
birthday?
Hey, what are you doing for your birthday? And I was like, oh, I'm podcasting with Ted, Jared, and Mark.
So it's been a while. Obviously, podcast 2.0. I think we're like five in now, five or six. You know, better.
I feel like it's going well.
So I was telling Adam Gray the other day. You know, people that listen to this don't remember Adam Gray. He used to host this.
Were you telling him that our numbers are through the roof?
I said we were texting. I said apparently the ratings are on fire. They're better than ever. And his response was, "Don't let CW lie to you like that." So I said, "All right, I won't." But I trust Williams. I never ask for proof of these things. He just tells me things are good. But we have some special guests here today.
I haven't looked in a couple of weeks, to be honest with you.
That's okay. I won't bust your balls. We have the Ted Flint here today.
And Ted won't be sticking around for very long. I just want to tell everybody that I got Ted a gift.
Yeah.
Because he's here in town. He's going to be going over to get a massage.
Oh, really?
The next door neighbor.
Two doors down, huh?
Yeah. I think I took a shower this morning, I suppose.
Just know that there's
What's that password?
You might get busted during this process. Jarrett's here as well. Say hi, fellas.
How's it going?
How's it going, guys?
So I want to, because I listened to the podcast you guys did with Ross the other day. And was that was recorded late at night, right? Fairly late?
It started at 10:30.
Ross sounded like he'd had a few before he came on there. And we just want to remind you guys, we do things a little bit differently here. We do cuss from time to time, but not nearly as much as you guys did on yours.
Well, I mean, I almost brought a piece of paper. I was going to write down words I can and cannot say. I was going to double check.
I noticed you guys have the explicit lyric or the note next to you guys, though.
Oh, yes.
On iTunes.
Real quick, Jared, are you drinking Black Velvet straight right now?
There's a little water in there.
Okay.
A little bit.
Sorry, I just needed to...
But we did bring you guys some beverages that we're all going to enjoy.
Oh, look at these. Oh, my God. I'll take a picture of what you gave us.
What, just put a
I didn't even know they made those.
Zima.
That's not from 1998, is it?
I found that in my dad's garage.
Hopefully it's a fresh one. Oh, man. I'll have a Zima. Those are great. Limited release, it says right on there. So for people that for people that have no clue who you guys are, which I assume is a few people listening to this. Why don't you say who the hell you are and what you do and why you're here?
Well, I am Ted Flint, and this is Jared Smith. We We co-created a website called thetailgatesociety.com where you can go check out. We have all kinds of amazing writers there. We have a ton of content. People, we have 34 people over 14 states, kind of cool. And we also have a podcast called We're Not That Drunk and 9 other podcasts that we do at the website. But We're Not That Drunk is basically us getting drunk with guests, and it's kind of a fun podcast. Check us out on iTunes. And we don't like Barstool, so I apologize.
Who's in your opinion the best guest that you've had on your podcast?
Fran Frischilla was the best guest we had on our podcast.
Really?
He was fun.
Was he drinking during it?
He was not. He was drinking iced tea, but he was still fun. Murphy was on there. He was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like Murphy. Of course, Williams has been on there, I think. I'm not sure if he's been on there, if he just called in the drunk dial-in. I'm not sure if he's actually been
Williams,
on there.
Williams, were you
on? Been on the pod.
Were you drunk when you were on there?
Yeah.
Well, we tell people to have a 2-drink minimum.
Cracked my Zima, and it's refreshing.
I was totally on because I remember having to go into the basement to do it.
Guys, so you may not know this about me.
How old are these Zimas, really?
They're brand new, dude. Limited release, it says right there.
They really are.
They're cold. Come with the quick.
So I had people that listen to this podcast know very well that my preferred beverage is milk. You know, that's just what I like. I like a cold glass of milk. So for me to be drinking something like a Zima at 10:48 in the morning, we're breaking some new ground here, fellas.
That's actually really good.
We are. It's refreshing.
This is, it's crisp. I love the taste of Zima.
It's a refreshing citrus beverage.
Holy crap. Where have you been all my life?
Has a nice groove.
Have you never had a Zima?
You can't drop it.
You know what would be good with this, fellas? Is I feel like if you'd mix Zima with some, like, Gentleman Jack, that'd actually be really nice, I believe.
I feel like that would be.
Hey, mix it with your Black Velvet.
That might get you in trouble.
Speaking of alcohol,
You know you're going to put him on live radio later today, and you're telling him to mix Black Velvet.
We have a little. It's not quite a tradition. A tradition is not correct here, but we have We poured you both a shot. We poured you both a shot of Malort. Jepson's Malort, which Williams has had.
It's a podcast tradition.
It's not good, fellas. Now, you guys are professional drinkers. So maybe you'll think a little bit differently of this. And like I said, the drink itself I don't think is that bad. But hopefully you're going to be talking about it 20 minutes after you take it.
What I worried about this shot is I asked our producer, Tom Danielson, if he'd ever drank it. And he told me, he described it, and not a single word that he said I can say on this podcast.
Yeah.
I can say bits of the words, but I cannot say
It's not good, fellas. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just not. So
he said it tasted like what it looks like.
Should I Periscope?
Yeah, go ahead. Jared. Go ahead and do it.
Drinking the Malort.
Oh, I'm scared.
Oh, don't puke on your shirt. I guess I got you another one.
Hold on. You guys take your time.
Go check out the website. It's pretty cool. And we're, since you guys, we are looking for something. I want to get this out. We need a beer sponsor. Every week we joke about this. Mm-hmm. If you have a brewery or a beer and you want us to drink every Saturday your beer, we'll do it.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's a nice save.
So you'll just, if they pay you, you'll drink their beer.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, with all the
except Miller Lite. Miller Lite, don't even bother.
With all the breweries around now, you can't find one that wants to get their name out there all the time.
No, I think
that would be fairly easy to do.
Except Miller Lite.
Shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. What is your now that you want a beer sponsor, maybe you shouldn't say. What is your brand of choice?
Well, I'm a Busch Light drinker.
Busch Light. That's why you and Williams are friends.
Busch Light and Black Velvet are the official drinks of the Tailgate
Society. How do you spell Malort?
M-A-L-O-R-T.
Okay.
Yeah, just like you would think.
All right. We're live now.
We're live now. We're live with our Zimas.
Just four guys sitting around on a hot June day, Zima.
It's the morning still. 10:51 on a Thursday morning.
I'm just going to let this sit here for a while until we get some crowd.
All right. So
why don't you – you said that you drink if you want a beer sponsor. What if Zima called?
For sure.
Well,
this is great. Crisp.
I can buy Tums. I can buy enough Tums next day to deal with the gut ache. You know, I mean –
This was a workout drink in the 90s, I think.
A workout drink.
Sure. A workout drink.
Was this what Dan and Dave drank during the Reebok commercials?
What is your record amount of beers in one day, Ted Flint? How many have you put down?
I don't know if I have
a
count.
That's a great question. You drank a case in a day, right?
I drank a case in a day. I think one night back in like my younger days, I put down a bottle and a half of BV.
Jeez.
Almost ran through Jim Beam. Almost ran through a brick wall, I was told. That was a wake-up call.
Fred would love you.
So one of the things that has you know, hey, I'll drink beers and stuff. That's totally fine. I'm drinking a Zima right now. Look at what a man I am. But one of the things that separates a hardcore drinker or somebody that can go all night versus somebody such as myself is the puke factor.
Are you talking about drinking or sex?
Drinking. That's a totally different thing. The puke factor, okay? So if I had, let's just say, I'll put it at 8 beers for me, okay? If I'm out drinking and I drink with no food, whatever, and I had probably 8 beers, okay, with no break, just straight through, I would start feeling really, really drunk, and I get to the point where if I just get beyond where I should stop, I'll start getting sweaty, I'll start getting dizzy, and I'll puke, okay? Yep. So as somebody that lives life that way, why do I want to go get drunk like that? Because it's awful when the room starts spinning and you puke. Now, I know other guys, and you're probably one of these guys, that never pukes. Yeah. You guys black out.
I'm like that, too.
I would drink a lot more if I could just peacefully go to sleep at the end of the night, right?
Maybe you're not drinking the right
stuff. I mean,
so I assume you guys aren't the room-spinning, puking types.
We've been there. I mean, where you're like holding on to the sheets because the world's trying to toss you off.
Yeah.
That's terrible. You know, I mean, I've been known to slide against a wall during podcasts or like lean against it. We had one of our hosts fell asleep the other night during a podcast.
Really?
So
I had a when I went to that NASCAR race a couple weeks ago, I counted. I had 34 Busch Lights in 2 days.
34?
It was horrible.
So you were drunk for 2 days?
This Sunday that I got home, like, I felt like I had put on, like, 40 pounds.
It's not so much, like, how much you can drink. Like, I think a better drunk is, like, once you get drunk, is how, like, if you can plateau it and be, like, a drunk for 5 hours. That's the happy place.
You just got to push through that 8-beer limit. Just got to keep going. Just got to push through it.
Well, I'm at the stage of my life, guys. Married father of 3. I don't know if I'm going to be pushing any limits.
We got quite a few people logged on to Periscope now.
All right, so let's drink this Malort.
Is this room temperature? You didn't even chill it for us.
No. And let's give an honest review.
Mark, can you please read the description of the Malort one
more time? It said like botanical or something. Yeah, terrible, hold on. Terrible.
Well, I think that there's a portion of our audience here who doesn't know what Malort is and that. The history behind it and the
lore pronounce that shot
that it has here on the podcast. And
the reason this came up is I was looking for the world's worst liquor because we had this bet where if you lost the week in betting games, you had to drink something crappy. So I came up across this. So Jepson's Malort, on the back it says it has the aroma and full-bodied flavor of an unusual botanical. Its bitter taste...
Is a botanical a plant?
Yeah, a flower. Its bitter taste is savored by two-fisted drinkers.
My pal Chris Flagg just wrote it and said it's the worst drink in the history
of
the world.
All right, so the Zima cost
$9. That's not a good sign.
$9.19. Is that bottle more or less than the Zima?
This was actually like... And by the way, I feel real bad about this. A listener... Pick this up for me.
Yeah.
I think his last name actually was Hoppenworth. That's striking a bell. I don't know if you know him.
Hoppenworth?
I never paid him. So if you're listening to this, he dropped it off when I wasn't here. It was like $20. Yeah. I think this is $20.
$20.
I owe you.
That's a lot of interest.
So if you're listening, come back to Charter House. I can pay
just
you for
give
this.
Some bottle
just
back.
Wrote on Periscope that it tastes like fermented dandelions.
That's better than the other reviews.
I heard it tastes like dog beep is what I heard.
Or donkey beep.
Yeah, lots of beeps.
All right, boys, let it rip.
Yeah,
and then give us...
This is Ted and Jared drinking
Happy
Malort.
Birthday, CW, and thanks, birthday. Mark.
Yep, you bet. All right, down the hatch goes the Malort.
That's awful.
Now, the initial taste is
Smith
not good.
Smith doesn't seem like he hates it.
The initial taste is not good, okay? But what happens is
Ted's chasing it with the Zima.
The aftertaste kicks you in the butt a little bit. Like, it's going to linger in your throat.
It's kind of oily.
It tastes like what I assume a funeral home smells like. Oh, God.
It's not. There's it's not nothing great. Good about it. There's nothing good about it.
Why would you do that to people?
The best part, though, is that you guys...
My eyes are watering. My eyes are watering right now.
The joke is apparently... This is
the joke is that you don't like friends.
Yeah. So this is a Chicago liquor, and I guess people that live in Chicago know about this a lot more than we do, obviously. So they'll have a friend come into town and take them to the bar and say, like, our local liquor is Malort. You know, give their buddy a shot of Malort at the bar who doesn't know any better.
He doesn't get any Deadeye barbecue sauce we brought. This man does not get our guests.
Right, it does taste like dandelions.
Real quick, there's a couple people want to see the bottle, and then we're going to wrap this up.
All right, Malort.
There you go.
There you go.
Malort. I don't even think you can mix that with anything.
Periscope, thanks. The whole podcast will be posted in a little bit.
Bye.
So I don't even need a review quite yet because I want you guys to let it sit for a couple minutes.
What would you even mix that with?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You don't want to mix it with anything.
Diesel? Put in your truck?
So you guys, let's help you pitch a product here, because you guys were talking about Deadeye barbecue sauce, and I've heard a lot about this. I know you pitched it on your podcast, but I've never had it. So am I really, really missing out? Have you had
Deadeye? Yeah, it's good. They brought me a bottle last time you were on KXNO. And
I've heard everybody that's mentioned it has said really good stuff, so I assume it's really good.
It's the best goddamn barbecue sauce in Central Iowa.
Is that their tagline?
It's the tagline we made for them, and they haven't told us no.
Okay. All right. Now I can pick this up, or anybody can pick it up. You said Hy-Vee Fairway?
Every single Fairway in all the Central Iowa Hy-Vees.
Okay. Now, are these friends of yours that made this?
Yeah, and it's a I can't think. It's Tyler and Matt Michael, Iowa State grads. They're like 24. They found this recipe in like their grandpa's basement.
Yeah.
And they put it together.
So describe it for people.
It's like a Carolina sauce. It's thinner. It's not very thick. It's a thinner sauce.
Like an A1. Like A1's thin.
And they make a Magnum, which is a spicier one. And
it's Magnum's where it's at.
Amazing on eggs.
I'm pretty familiar with Magnums.
Is that what you wear? Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
Sure, I think it's a hat size. Yeah, I mean, but yeah it's the spicy stuff is good on eggs. It sounds terrible, but it's great on eggs.
Yeah,
phenomenal. I hear they're making seasoning stuff too.
The word on the street.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you brought me a bottle, so
it's out in the van.
I get to go home and try it. It's warming up in the van for me. It's gonna. Is it great hot?
What's going on in the 4th? Anybody have big 4th plans?
I think doesn't everybody have plans on the 4th? Kind of.
I'm gonna drink and watch fireworks. You know,
these set fireworks.
I have a drink that I make on the 4th. It's not that father's root beer of ice cream. It's a great root beer float.
Oh, I've had that. Not my father's root beer, which tastes like root beer. It has alcohol in it.
You know what's really good that I've been doing is the reclaimed rails over in
Bombay. I wanted to try that stuff. I saw you talking about that new stuff that they have.
The vanilla cream.
Yeah.
So what you do with that is you mix that with actual root beer.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And I bet you could mix it with not your father's, too.
Well, that would be a nice little double.
That'd probably knock you on your ass, because that not that father's is, what is it, like 8%?
It's strong.
Yeah, it's 8 or 9.
You only have a few of those, though, because it's so sweet.
Oh, yeah.
You need to share a sixer.
It just sits in the pit of your stomach.
Sorry, I'm going to
cough.
Jared,
do you have a Twitter handle?
You're getting a new follower.
Jared Smith, there you are. Yeah. Most common name?
Yeah, common name. Jared Smith.
But we also brought William's a birthday present.
Are we going to open that?
Yeah.
God bless you guys.
It's very heavy. So you might want to stand up to do it.
It really seems like
it's just
heavy.
Rocks.
My wife did the wrapping, so God bless Miss Flint. She wrapped everything for you.
I mean, Zima and BV mix isn't too bad, honestly. I mean, I'm not
going to
lie.
Yeah, there's stuff.
I see a lot of tissue paper.
All right, I got some barbecue sauce.
Oh, is this the barbecue sauce?
Yeah, this is it right there.
Let me take a look at this.
This is it right there.
Oh, it's gluten-free.
Man, these are all, like, wrapped within one another.
My wife. Yeah,
my wife. Flint did a phenomenal job with this.
Well, we know you've been talking about how much you like whiskey, so we bought you a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, God bless you guys. So. I actually do. I'm really, like, I don't know what's gotten into me.
Yeah.
But I just sit around drinking whiskey now.
I don't drink beer much anymore. It's just all whiskey.
Gray told me the other day, I asked him if he's still drinking the whiskey every night. He said he drinks it every night, and he literally will take a glass of it to bed with him, and he'll drink it and set it on the nightstand table. Wow. And then he'll wake up the next morning, there's still a little bit there.
Right.
He'll start the morning off right.
Little BV, baby.
Black Velvet.
It's like the Busch Light of whiskey.
Yeah. Black Velvet makes that little boy smile.
You don't have to worry about dropping the bottle either.
This is a glass one.
And this looks like a six-pack of beer of some sort.
Man, these guys are based in Ankeny. These Deadeye Barbecue guys are in Ankeny. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yep.
We need to have them on.
Ted and Jared have brought me a bottle of Black Velvet, a six-pack of Busch Light.
Oh, the website bought it for you, Tailgate Society.
All right, my friends at the Tailgate
He's
Society.
He's like your best friend.
And then there's something else. That I believe it's a koozie.
Yeah, I can remember how we got pretty drunk at the spring game, and I don't remember if I gave you one.
That was a bad
Who game. Came up, by the way, who came up with the name the Tailgate Society for you guys? Because that name kicks ass, I'll be honest with you.
Tailgate Society Koozie, boom, I'm set for the weekend.
And then, I tell you what, it's a fun story.
We appreciate it.
A writer for the website, Arnold Woods, his wife came up with the name for the Tailgate Society.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I like it. That makes sense for what you guys are doing.
And Mark, we got you a koozie. You get to pick green or orange?
Orange. I'll go orange. Man, I like that.
I'm going to crush that BV this morning.
So William,
Williams, 7-Up.
Williams and I, not together,
okay. But
we'll both be up in Bogey for the 4th.
Did your wife let you set off fireworks?
I'm not a big fireworks guy.
Really?
I was having this conversation with a guy the other day. I don't know where you guys weigh in on this. I got traumatized early.
Are you a communist, and why do you hate America?
America.
Yeah, America. So a couple things. One, I grew up reading a book called Follow the Leader. Okay, and this book was about a kid who sets off a firework, goes blind because of it, and then he gets a seeing eye dog. And the rest of the book's about his relationship with the dog. So I grew up thinking fireworks bad.
Real crowd pleaser there, huh?
Fireworks bad. Yeah, and then you see things like Jason Pierre-Paul's hand. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with fireworks.
Don't be an idiot with them.
Well, I mean, so you what never, if they malfunction?
So you never played, like, war with Roman candles or you ran
heck
around shooting
no.
people?
Oh,
with
heck
them.
No.
My cousin
no.
Jared and I used to run around shooting bottle rockets at each other.
Yeah.
No, I so
bad deal.
We have a neighbor.
No,
don't do that.
We have a neighbor up in Okoboji, though. So the fireworks show goes off over the lake, which you'll see up on the 4th. People go out on their boats and their docks and whatever, and it's a pretty good show. And then as soon as that show ends, the real show starts on the dock next door to us. This guy brings an arsenal, and just he's in his 50s or 60s. You know, he thinks he's the highlight of the lake every single year. And he lets off. He's got one of those, like, it's almost like a Gatling gun. Like, he loads these fireworks and it's like, boosh, 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 boosh. Like, it's unbelievable.
Is he sounds sober?
Awesome.
And
probably
now, and
not.
And now it's legal in Iowa, so he's
probably
going to have more now.
Oh, it'll be crazy up there this year. But Chris is making his main voyage to Okoboji for the 4th.
Like,
and it's a good time.
What am I getting into, though? Because I've, like, again, I'm 32 and I've never.
You need to go Barefoot Bar.
Barefoot Bar is where a lot of people go. You can drive a boat to it. You can drive to it.
Go to the Ritz. Probably like a $40 cover, though, this weekend.
Barefoot Bar is kind
of
like.
Keep in mind, we're going to have a lot of children with us, so.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Maybe we can have a guy's night into this.
Are either of you, this might sound a little bit boring, and granted it could be, but are either of you into cars? At all?
Yeah, I love cars.
There's a, I don't know the guy's name, there's a rich dude that lives up there, and he's got a, think of, I describe it kind of like a Morton building, but gigantic.
Yeah.
And he's got a huge car museum up there with tons of cool old classic cars and stuff that you can just walk through. He hired like the best muralists in the world to come paint the walls in the place. It's really kind of cool. If you're into cars. If you're not, you'd find it extremely boring. You said you're going to be staying by Arnold's Park over there. There's old wooden roller coasters. There's a mini golf course. Pirate's Cove
is there. Is there stuff for kids at Arnold's Park?
Yeah, that's what it's
like
for.
It's like a carnival.
Yeah, that's Arnold's Park is what it's for.
So Cammy will like it?
Yeah. And obviously, you know, if we're up there, we'll come over and we'll pick you up in the boat. If you want to do the boat ride, a little tubing, stuff like that.
Boat rides sound fun.
We won't pick you up in the Woody. My father-in-law actually has a Woody. You know, like the old wooden
your
boats.
Your father-in-law has a Woody?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. It's kind of – and the fact that he's a urologist, I think that's why he wanted to buy one, you know, because he'll drive around and be like, hey, want to check out my Woody? Like
he why are you staring at my Woody?
He thinks it's hysterical, which it's never that funny. But Okoboji is, you know, it's probably the – well, I wouldn't say it's the tourist destination in Iowa, but it's one of them.
I mean, if you're going to, like, go party, it's obviously the party place in Iowa.
So Miller's Bay is, like, a cove where a lot of the boats just kind of pull in and park, so to speak. They don't park. They're in the water, but they anchor.
It's like a party cove down at the Ozarks.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a wild tubing trip where you're going to be seeing a lot of topless girls. It's not
Apple River, you know.
Yeah, it's not that type of place. But, no, I mean, you'll have fun. Feel fun. Are you on the water?
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, grab a fishing pole. And
yeah, it'll be too rough to go out there like on a noodle on the 4th, though, because like the wakes will be really bad because everyone will be on boats. So unless you find like a little bay, you're not going to be able to swim.
Yeah. Okoboji is unlike any other Iowa lake, though. I mean, it's literally unique and different for a couple of reasons. One is in the middle, it's over 100 feet deep. I mean, you don't think about lakes being over 100 feet deep. So it's a massive
lake. Yeah, it's a big place.
It's one of – I read this once. I have no idea what the term was. I found it interesting, and I hope it's true. But Okoboji is one of only like three lakes in the world that does this process where the bottom turns to the top every single year. And it's because of the depth of it and the temperature of it. It does something special.
Yeah.
Which allegedly keeps it clean.
That sounds like the prologue of like a horror movie. Like every year, Boji, the bottom comes
it
to
rotates.
The top.
Did you guys see – I saw this picture the other day. I don't know where it was. but it's a chance to watch the movie Jaws in the water.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Nah.
Like, what? It's this kind of like, it looked like a drive-in movie
screen. Why are you bringing up movies? Williams doesn't know.
And this big body of water.
Jaws. I've seen Jaws.
These people are in. These people are watching the movie in tubes. They're like sitting in tubes in the water watching Jaws.
It's crazy. Like, so Jaws. My wife loves Shark Week. We'll not watch Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do it.
I like Shark Week, too.
Yeah, but she won't watch Jaws. That's too scary.
I thought about this.
Like that new 47 Meters Down movie? Yeah, I'm not watching that.
That looks kind of like I get claustrophobic watching the previews.
Yeah,
I do too, man.
My heartbeat goes.
I don't like it.
Just a whole bunch of nope. Just nope. Not seeing that. Nope.
Like,
sorry.
How horrible would that be?
if you mean being in a cage with sharks around you on the bottom of the ocean? Awful.
Just drops and you're. That would be. Is there a worst case scenario in life?
If you're claustrophobic, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
No, like, I am claustrophobic.
Die.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the idea of that at all.
It's up there, you know, like it's up there with like Jacob Park getting hurt, which is Tommy Burch's already jinxed him. So
you're equating the two? exactly the same.
I listen to that podcast. Tommy's on my crap list for that.
What are you guys doing?
Tommy's on everybody's crap list. It makes you feel any better.
What are you guys doing for the 4th? You're just laying low, or you're
just gonna probably drink, watch fireworks. This sounds awful, but this is my brand. I'm going to watch like the 4th Die Hard and just get drunk and live tweet it.
So the 4th, don't tell me, the 4th Die Hard is the one in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, it takes place over
Justin
the 4th.
Justin Long?
It's an underrated one.
It's his son?
No, that one's...
No, it's his daughter. His daughter's
grown. How big
grown.
A cuss word can I say? Because that 5th one's terrible. Like, let's not discuss that.
Oh, the 5th one's the Russian one?
That one's,
never even saw that one.
Don't.
That was the one that came out like 5-6 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah.
Sometimes sequels, you get some good sequels. Sometimes they're all garbage. It's like a couple that come to mind. Hangover, right? Did The Hangover ever get better?
Or I was like this. The second one wasn't bad.
Third one was terrible, bad. Right? Because they kept literally rehashing the exact same premise.
See, the thing with the
and
third
just changing
one,
scenery or whatever.
I watched the third one once, and I had been drinking all day, and I thought it was fine, but I can't. Trust that judgment.
I can't believe we shouldn't be talking about movies because Williams is here. But the Godfather series.
I've actually seen every movie you've talked about. Now
The Hangover.
Until you brought up The Godfather.
The Godfather. Are you guys familiar?
It's hilarious.
Are you guys familiar with The Godfather?
He brought up The Godfather the other night with his daughter, and I almost am like a GIF from The Godfather. I'm like, I'm going to understand the context. I'm going to do it.
Ted Flint's my daughter's Godfather, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not officially, but.
Just, it'll hold up in
It's
court.
Like calling someone their uncle when they're not their
Do
uncle.
Do one of you guys want my Zima, by the way?
what happened? You were loving it.
Did you even get that?
He's got to go to quote-unquote spin class or something.
I got
to
go work out after this, and like I really just – I don't want to like
– Don't you
want
to hydrate?
Do you realize?
I will.
Do you realize
the
paradox that exists when you say things like, this is what I don't understand. Obviously, you care somewhat about your health. But you'll say things like, I had 34 beers over the course of a weekend, and then no, guys, I can't drink that because I got to go work out.
No, it's not because I think the Zima's unhealthy. It's because I don't want to be burping it up for the next hour.
But do you work out just to work off what you've drank that week?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's the reason?
I do it just so that I can drink, yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Plus, beer's mostly water. So,
yeah,
I mean,
mostly.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's on a diet, and he doesn't drink many beers anymore. So.
No.
Which leads to, I mean, awkwardness on podcasts because he's drinking whiskey waters and
whiskey.
He laps me a few
What's
times.
What's your favorite whiskey, Jared?
Makers.
Yeah, Makers.
But
is
I
really
usually
good.
Go with BV because it's economical.
Yeah.
This is going to be, I don't know if I want to like ruin people's like perceptions, but Smith actually holds the title for the biggest drinker in the website right now.
Yeah, maybe.
I gave him the title the couple
How do you
weeks
become
ago.
The biggest drinker of the website?
Just, you know, we talk, like we do these things, we call them board meetings, which is, they're terrible ideas where after we do a podcast on a Friday night or Saturday night, like 7 people from the website get together and we video chat. And we just drink till like 3 in the morning.
Wow.
Because we're idiots. And he's...
Other people get on and drink with you.
And he's the winner because like we'll wake up and he send me snaps at like 5 a.m. still awake when I went to bed at 2:30.
I have a great... I have some gratitude to Fred.
You had a sip of Zima. Sip.
Fred actually worked because you're combining... You're combining... You're combining
did he even
Ted
drink
and Flint.
All that?
If you combine Ted and Flint, it's Fred.
You should text Ted... I mean, Fred and get him to come on. We're not that drunk. If you can do that.
He's got to be on the podcast before he's on your show.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll battle
so
it out.
I was out with another advertiser one night, and I was supposed to do We're Not That Drunk. And
we were actually video chatting when you called.
And I kept, like, texting. I'm like, hey, this is taking longer than I thought. Like, I'm going to – whatever. And I had to, like, push it back, and Ted's just like, hey, we're just not going to do it. Everybody's hammered. Like, it's too – I called you, what, at like midnight?
It was quarter to one.
Well, you can tell the story better.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to me and Smith. We didn't even podcast. We were just video chatting and getting drunk together. And he calls me, and I'm like looking at Smith on the video. I'm like, it's Williams. And he's like, what? And I'm like, and you're like, no, we can do this. I'm ready. Let's do this. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't like this idea. Like we can, but it's a bad idea. And Williams like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, I'm worried about what you'll say. Well, I don't care what anyone thinks what I said. I'm like, no, dude, just we're not doing this tonight. We're not. And then like 3 days later, I get a text message from William. He's like, did I call you on Saturday night?
This is why I drink milk, fellas. Got to remember what happened.
You would have had some flaming takes that night.
This is why it pays to have Ted's a gentle giant.
Yeah,
he was looking out for me that night. I still feel bad that happened. But
hey, I'm going to discuss the challenge coming up. It comes on in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we need to do that.
So you guys, are you talking about the challenge, the show?
Yeah. Or,
okay.
Best show.
So you guys have your show. I have mine. Big Brother started last night.
It's very similar.
On CBS.
Very similar.
I like Big Brother.
Yeah.
You know, I love the mental aspect. Big Brother's not – the challenge is physical, can be very physical, at least when I watched it.
Yeah, and it's got, like, some fear factor to it, too. Where
Big,
you have to
Big Brother stuff. Is some of that, but it's also more social game and getting along
and you
with
can,
other
like,
that, people.
That, they're videotaped all – like so, like, you can go on the website now and watch that?
Watch them, yeah. They have live cameras. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Talk about claustrophobic.
Not like watching it, yeah. But
would
like
you be – if you knew – Williams, so you share some weirdness with me. I can definitely be claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah.
If you knew that you had to be in the house, in this house, and you can go out into their yard, which is an enclosed yard, you can see the sky, but that's it, for up to 90 days, would that bother you?
It's 3 months.
There's no – if you win, yeah. Yeah, they're there 3 months.
And you can't,
if you
like, win. I assume you can't, like, watch the news or
– No, so phone. No news, no newspapers, probably no TV. So you're in this house with no windows at all. It's a pretty big house, but no windows. The only outside you can see up into the sky.
Would it bother me? Yes. Would I go crazy? No.
So, yeah, the question is, how do you deal with it? If you start to feel bothered, how do you deal with it? For me, claustrophobia has always been like, if I can start thinking about something else, it helps.
Can you drink?
You can drink.
Sounds like winter in Iowa to me.
although it's not like Bachelor in Paradise. They don't let you get hammered on that show. They don't do that because it's CBS.
Bachelor in Paradise, like getting into trouble or something?
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, they did because one of the cast members alleged that another cast member sexually assaulted her. But they were both hammered, and he denied it, and the rest of the cast said no, he
like
didn't do it or whatever.
Like sexually assaulted her. Don't they have cameras?
Yeah, no, that's my point. That's my point. They have cameras, but they're both drunk. I think they're in a hot tub, right? And the point of the show is sex, right? They go here because they're single. They're supposed to be meeting each other.
That whole
one thing leads to another. One thing leads to another. He slips her the Mickey. And then the next morning, they're like, oh, yeah, you had sex with that. You had sex with them.
Wait,
like,
he drugged her? He drugged her?
No, I meant like I didn't mean a Mickey Finn like her, like the drug. I meant his penis.
They did the horizontal tango.
Okay. I meant the penis. Yeah.
Willie.
I could have. The tallywhacker.
Pedro.
The tallywhacker. They had sex. Yes. Well, the camera crew obviously probably filmed it. We don't see that, of course, but they're there. This wasn't in a private bedroom. This is where there's camera crew. And her point was, the camera crew should have stepped in. They should have known that I wasn't consenting, et cetera. And the camera crew basically said she was consenting. I mean, yes, they were both hammered, but she wanted it. Yeah. I mean, they were making out and stuff. So here's an important reminder for all our young podcast listeners out there, especially the males, by the way. When a woman is drunk, she can't give consent.
Exactly.
Legally.
Exactly.
Legally. So if you have sex with a drunk woman, you're risking your life, frankly.
Just don't do it.
I knew a guy in Ames that went to prison for several years over that exact scenario.
Yeah,
had sex with a woman that was drunk. She woke up the next day, didn't know what had happened, knew she had sex, and decided that he had raped
her. Yeah, just...
And went to prison for it.
It's a good for female listeners, too.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, it's just...
daughters, like, don't get so hammered at a party that you can't...
I mean, Smith, that's 2 13-year-olds. You're going to get him, go out and get a machine gun.
Yeah.
Give all this talk.
Already got one.
Yeah. So anyway, can we find out if we're sexist too? I wanted to get your guys' take on this. I mean, I already
John
know.
McEnroe?
Yeah, I already know the answer.
I laced into this for an hour the other day.
So this is good because I know a lot of people that listen to your show and they probably heard it. I haven't heard your take. I don't know what your take
we're
is.
We're gonna have to apologize to Tammy after this.
We can get Ted and Jared's take too. So McEnroe
this was going to be a 10-minute segment. It lasted like an hour.
Okay, McEnroe to summarize was asked a question.
Yes.
About Serena, and basically said Serena is a great tennis player, right?
The greatest of all time as a female.
As a female tennis player, and other people have objected that why can't she just be the greatest of all time? Why do you have to put women's behind it? My question to you guys is, can a woman in any physical sport? Okay, we're not talking about brains. We're not talking about intellect. We're not talking about anything.
Well, because women are smarter than men. We all know.
Well, okay, so fine. I have no problem admitting that. So they certainly do less stupid things than we do. So can a woman in a physical sport ever be the greatest of all time, in your opinion? Is it possible? Other than a sport that you can be equivalent, like what jumps to mind to me is bowling. Okay? I think a woman and a man can equally bowl 300. I just can. It's technique. You know, if you get the technique down, you can bowl 300. But let's talk about golf. Let's talk about football, baseball, basketball, tennis.
Just any.
Where do you guys come in on this? And if you think, no, they're not physically equal to us, are you automatically sexist because of it?
Just before we answer, we just want to make sure that any complaints about this argument go to our complaint department, which is Jared_Leeper on Twitter. So anything that you get upset about, send him anything. They can be. I think, like, distance running. You could do that, maybe. Like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't.
Well, but I mean, I think it's a loaded question that you're going to get in trouble regardless of.
That's why I asked.
There's a ton of gray area though, because like on a given day, like the best women could beat men.
Yeah.
Like the way I came down on this though, and this is what drives me nuts about this conversation, is men's and women's tennis is two different sports. Two sports.
She'd be above 700. That's my only complaint. She'd be like,
yeah.
They're two different sports, like. And I don't understand why it's insulting to women to qualify.
Now, why do you say they're two different sports? The court's the same, the net's the same, the ball's the same.
They're not hitting the ball hard.
It's just like the NBA and the WNBA. They're played incredibly differently. One's above the rim, one's very physical.
But she wouldn't be 700. She'd be.
I don't know. I don't know that.
I know that. All right, think about 700 people. How hard does she hit that ball? There's not 700 men out there that can get one of her serves.
Her average serve speed was in the 120s.
Can you hit that?
No.
In the 120s. The average – well, I won't say the average. I know that men can serve in the 140s.
Okay? Yeah, but can the 700th man serve in the 120s?
Yeah, probably not. So I had a buddy that said this, and you guys can say this is dumb, but we were having this discussion in our text group, and one of them said that that Serena Williams could not beat a guy on the Iowa State men's team.
Nah.
They're making that.
See, I wouldn't go that
plan.
Far.
I wouldn't go that far at all.
No.
Like those guys aren't pros.
I mean, she knows how to put spin on the ball.
So what he's saying is,
ball,
just
right?
because he's a man, he's going to beat the best tennis player in the world. That's a woman.
No, I don't believe that.
I mean, she knows how to spin, I assume, and other things. Like, there's more.
Let me put this in a little bit of context, though. That's personal for me. So I was looking at the women's 10 fastest 400 meter times of all time in all of history. Okay, my freshman year of college, I would have run a time that would put me in the top 10. Okay, so am I sexist for saying that? And that's just me as a college freshman, right? Not a track superstar, etc. I could do that. So does that put it in perspective a little bit that we're just simply different?
You can turn it around, though. You think Chris Bryant can hit the best softball pitcher's pitch from 40 feet away?
They get two different sports.
Well, kind of. They're still different. A ball, still coming.
I think if he got a hold of one, he did it farther than the average woman. I mean, I would say that.
I mean, does Chris Bryant get like some time to get used to watching the ball released, or is he just thrown out there?
Well, I mean, he's not doing anything because he hurt his ankle. But
Was that one of the crappier injuries you've seen? The guy just steps on the base.
I didn't even watch it. I've only watched four innings of the Cubs.
He catches a pop fly. Just a pop fly in the infield, and then steps on third and twists his ankle.
I'm a Cub fan. I'm still in the sitting in bed having a cigarette after sex mode from that World Series. Couldn't even tell you their record. 37, 39, 38, 39.
I think 500 as of today.
Are you guys getting worried yet?
I don't care.
The reason no Cubs fan is getting worried is because their division's garbage.
And they don't
need to be doing much. I mean, if they have one good month, they're going to make the playoffs.
They win seven in a row, they probably have the thing wrapped up.
Yeah. You know, the Reds are trash. The Brewers are marginal. The Pirates aren't good.
You could say that the NL Central is the Miller Lite of baseball.
Cardinals are garbage this year. So, no, the Cubs are going to luck out and make the playoffs because they've got trash around them. Nick, you want a Zima? Nick's joined us.
Nick's here.
I mean, you can have one. Chris only had a sip.
Yeah, I don't want anymore.
It actually is quite refreshing.
No, it's actually not bad. I'm just going to go work out. I don't want to puke later.
You're smelling it first? Come on, man. What was no shots? You don't smell beers.
I would totally drink it.
So the other story that came to mind, you guys might have more, but the other story this week, speaking of the Cubs, was Montero getting cut from the Cubs for speaking his mind. Where did you guys come down on that side of things? Should they have done it? Now, if he was a great player, they wouldn't have done it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But do you ever throw a teammate under the bus?
No. Not when you're that, like, the 24th best player on a 20-man roster. Yeah. Right. I mean, he was dumb. Like, even afterwards, he was still chirping. He's like, well, you know, I'm not going to tell an ugly woman pretty just because she's in front of me. No, you don't do that. Throw the ball, Mark. Throw the ball.
Yeah, and he was, I think, I saw two different stats. One said he had thrown out a runner somewhere, but I think he was 0 for 34.
It's ridiculous. But he hit a grand slam in game one of the World Series, so he's a Cub hero forever. So, I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's going to remember this part of him in 10 years.
It's a great reminder. I love stuff like this that we see it from time to time where we have free speech, but it isn't free. You can say what you want, but there's consequences with what you say.
How do you not go insane? How many windows do you have open on that that Twitter thing right there on your little columns?
My tweet deck?
Yeah.
I've got my personal Cyclone Fanatic, and then I had the...
You had to scroll over. That's how many you have.
Yeah, I got a lot going on.
How you?
They have Twitter on computers? That's crazy. Yeah.
They have Twitter on computer.
Got a lot going on here.
I see that.
So you guys are like making the media tour today?
Yeah, it's our 1 year anniversary of the website. Yeah, we're hopefully we can come back another year if we haven't completely embarrassed ourselves. So,
I mean, which we might have done already. But
have you guys bought any crazy 4th of July gear?
Not yet. I mean, I have.
I went to the Walmart.
I saw that. It was a nice shirt.
Badass.
No sleeves.
Skeleton, no sleeves, American flag in the shades.
Can you celebrate the 4th of July with sleeves? Like, is that, like, can you?
Yeah, if you're a communist.
I love how you equate everything to communism.
I'm still bitter that
automatically communism.
I'm still bitter I didn't get any of that America beer from Shirley last year on the 4th. I hope they remake it this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because it sells out really fast.
I was actually going to go to... liquor store today and stock up because I figure it'd be a lot cheaper down here than up in Okoboji.
Yes. Yeah, and we just found out that liquor store's closed. We were swung in the 35 liquor.
35. They didn't have a good beer selection, though.
They wouldn't have had Zima?
No.
They don't have anything now.
No, they don't.
You bought them out?
Hey, Mark, maybe we could do like a special edition like...
From the dock.
Yeah, Facebook Live podcast.
We could do that.
Over the 4th.
Are you going to expose who your special guest is up there, or is that a top secret?
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Ooh.
Top secret. Let's keep them.
That's what we in the business call dropping a tease.
What is the chances that we could get them to join us on that special Facebook Live you're talking about?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see.
Just get like a George Washington mask and put over his face. Like something from The Purge.
Yeah, like the Scream mask. But George Washington's topical, though, so that would...
I guarantee you somebody within the next couple of days is going to text me and ask me who it is now. Every time we do
next
something
couple of
vague
days, you'll probably
on
get
this,
one in 10 minutes.
I always get something every like, time, who's Williams talking about?
Every time I'm around one of like your friends, they always ask
for autographs.
No, they always comment on how like we got them in trouble with their wife. Or their spouse.
Yeah, someone has to be that guy.
That's happened a few times, hasn't it?
Every time I'm around him, though. Yeah, I heard you were talking about me on the podcast.
That's what we do here. We talk about people.
We talk about people. Yeah. We talk about people.
Every group of friends needs that friend that everyone that's married can blame shit on him. Can I say that?
Yeah. Fall guy.
Okay. Like, I mean, and he's just, oh, well, it was Bob's fault. Bob wouldn't leave the bar, and Bob was driving, so I couldn't go. I couldn't come home. I'm sorry. I just couldn't.
By the way, I realize it won't be a trip back down memory lane because they're in a completely different building, but I was talking to our good podcast friend Lawrence about how he needs to be back on here. Lawrence is good time.
Yeah, I'd like to get Lawrence.
And I said we need to go up and do it from the daily offices so we can go up and do the Iowa State Daily. Give them some love. But they're not where you were when I wrote for them. And
we should just have
moved.
Random daily students come on and
be nervous.
And hopefully not discourage them from the horrible major that they've chosen.
You should do them a service and start talking them out of the industry.
Well, if you need an old daily student closer to hockey.
Williams is going to be like, you want to make any money? don't do this,
you
man.
You live in poverty the rest of your life.
Don't do this. It's like, do you ever look back? Yes, you're a famous celebrity now, Williams, but do you ever look back on those days when you were in college and you were thinking, I want to do this for a career, and you wish you could have slapped yourself.
I actually knew better. Swear to God, I knew better.
You're like, this is a dumb path for me.
When I was like a junior, and things were going pretty well for me. Like, I had a job, and like I was doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, oh my God, I have to like pay bills doing this the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a really bad idea. But I was lucky.
Yeah.
I was lucky that the internet was just like kind of becoming a big deal.
Yeah. And I do feel bad for people like you that actually really want to write good sports pieces and they want to be a sports writer. And meanwhile, you got these big entities coming out saying like, basically, F writing. We're going to video.
I mean, I still don't know how much longevity is in that model, though.
I know you're a reader. You read stuff all the time. I'm telling me you're reading stuff. But I don't know if you're the norm. I don't think you are. I think people want 2-3 minutes and out the door they go.
Here's what I think's happening. I think that – well, I know that in digital marketing, the easiest way to make money is – by video.
If I open an article idea on Twitter and it's a video, I won't even freaking listen to it.
I'm the same way.
Why even bother? Like, if you can't put
I'm
me
the same way.
Write 2 paragraphs, whatever you want to tell me.
Yeah,
and you're done.
I mean, I to me, like the ideal like thing for like a Fox or an ESPN, when you have all these resources, you should be doing some of everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I do think they're alienating a huge portion of that. The thing is, it sounds like Fox is just going to be recycling Colin Cowherd over and over.
Did you see that crap where they were saying how, like, if you wanted to write for Fox, they would basically use your stuff and give a byline to Colin Cowherd?
Yeah.
Or Bayless.
They were ghostwriting for him, basically.
These are really smart people making these decisions.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these decisions are being made with money in mind.
Yeah.
More so than, like, their actual product. And I think that they'll probably cash in here for a while. But eventually, it's good. The written word's never going to completely go away. Now, should people be writing 2,000 word pieces on websites daily? Probably not, because there's not a lot of people who have enough time for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I've seen this. I don't know if you guys see this across the board when you're reading stuff on other sites, but what I like when sites do, because sometimes I'll go to a new column or a new piece on ESPN, and I'll do a quick scroll to see how long it is. And if it looks really long, I'm like, nah, I'm not even going to bother. But what some sites do is at the very top of the article, it'll say something like 4-minute read, 5-minute read. So that way you know, like based on normal reading times, this is how long it's going to take me to get through this.
Yeah, I mean.
Versus like, because people, like if you tell someone 4 minutes to read this article, maybe they'll be like, I'll do that. If it's 20, most people aren't.
But articles that include YouTube videos include the YouTube video runtime in that time.
Yeah.
So sometimes I go say 28 minutes and then it's 10 minutes because there's 8 YouTube videos
within it. Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense.
It's just like anything, fellas. It's going to continue to evolve. I mean, who knows in 2 years what this is all going to be like.
It's going
to
be different.
I know this. Like on Cyclone Fanatic, if we decided to do something like that, like it would infuriate people. We couldn't do it.
Videos are worse than the ads that start playing, or like the videos that just starts on top of the article.
Yeah.
And you have to like find the tab and mute it. That's just as bad.
I never watch those videos.
Yeah, I just mute it. Or I just close the damn article because I don't want to hear Skip Bayless on top of a good article about college football.
Here's the next idea for the Tailgate Society, by the way, because we already have audiobooks, right? So find somebody to read articles to you. Here's the latest article. You don't want to read it? You just want to hear it when you sit at your computer? I'll read it to you.
You know what I want?
Funny you said that.
There you go.
There's actually a program out there that we tried using like a year ago.
Yeah.
We're supposed to make X amount of money. Like, and that... there's a computer system out there that will grab your story.
Yeah.
And it automatically will, like, voice, but it sounds like
a robot. Yeah, which nobody would want to listen to.
It's like, why are you throwing that garbage? Yeah. You can't do that and expect people to keep coming back.
Sometimes, like, when, like, I'm having, like, a long day and I'm, like, it's like on a college football Saturday and, like, I'm taking, like, a late shower. I'm having a beer shower. I want a program that reads the tweets that are going on while I'm in the shower still. So I can, like, hear, like, because even at halftime, you're missing stuff, right? If you're doing the quick...
Do you guys find Twitter frustrating, or do you just like
it? It's not fun anymore.
Well, frustrating by the fact that, like, if it's a topic that, you know, there's a game going on, right, and all sorts of people are tweeting, you get through it, and then you refresh it, and there's 75 more. It feels like you can't catch up. And I don't like that feeling of not – there's no end.
We need to make Twitter great again.
How do we do that? Trump? Get Trump involved?
you got to mute some people.
Smith will come to me out here every random day.
You know what I think, Mark? Like the, I think that the fewer people you follow, the more enjoyable it is.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten to the point where I follow too many people.
Do you feel the need to follow back?
Or lists?
Yeah. I'm trying to stay under 1,600, and I crawl over, then I have to go and delete a bunch of people. And that's a lot of people there. I mean, that's a ton. I mean, you probably follow less than that.
Let me look.
I mean,
actually, when the games are going on,
I follow 1,800.
Oh, yeah.
That 1,800. So you guys, your feed's constantly filled.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine because you're killing time. It's nice to just kind of keep up with stuff, you know. But what's annoying, like when something happens in a game and then all of a sudden you get like 100, oh my God, and no one says what happened.
Yeah.
Just say, oh my God, LeBron dunk. That's nice. But oh my God, 3,000 times doesn't help me. Like, you know, but I'm a first world problem, I suppose, right there, right?
First. White man. White. You got to accept your white privilege, bro. I love stuff like that.
That's a really good one.
Mark is just trying to get us in trouble.
I love white.
Remember, Jared_Leaper.
Do you need to break any news about Michael Jacobson? By the way,
who's Michael Jacobson?
Apparently, he's going out of state.
What? Who? What?
Dude, that was like a month ago.
Well, I just came across Twitter 28 minutes ago by who posted.
That's the guy that's visiting this weekend, right?
At Cyclone Report 30 minutes ago. Jacobson is now a Cyclone.
He's the one that's visiting, the point guard, right? The one that.
No.
Well, I mean, I'm a bad fan.
I thought that was the Nebraska.
That's the Nebraska guy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
What
he signed like a month or two
ago. That Cyclone Report is doing 30 minutes ago. I don't know why.
Hashtag bad fan.
Yeah. So
that shot's awful, Charter.
Did you feel it after? Did it sit?
It literally feels like something, like a garden growing in my mouth. Like it just.
Well, it is a botanical.
It earned its name.
Did you guys see, by the way, the photo of the Chicago Cubs with Trump in the Oval Office that happened yesterday, I think?
I posted that, and my old man tweeted at me.
Kim Reynolds is in it.
That's when you know you messed up when your dad tweets at you.
Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds is in the photo.
Really? I hadn't seen it.
She happened to be at the White House at the time.
Allegedly flipping Trump off?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see.
Yeah. I posted that in my... And
allegedly, like there's proof of this. Like you see it in the photo.
It's super like vague. Like
any photo, he could have been like fixing his hands. He could have been cracking his knuckles.
Would that be shocking at all?
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
Trump's in the. So Trump's. I saw like a minute of this. Trump's in the Oval Office with the Cubs, right? Photo ops, press clicking away, doing whatever, and people are firing questions at him about healthcare, and he's answering them, you know. And then they're like, "All right, press, thanks for coming." It's like, don't you got to pick your spots a little bit?
Yeah.
It's like the Cubs are here, man. Healthcare
can wait.
Well,
they're there for a second time.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
Huge. You guys played huge.
Then did you see him throw shade at the Nationals?
No.
The Nationals owner was there, and someone said, well, you guys will meet in the playoffs. And the Cubs guy was like, yeah, we'll probably beat him. And Trump was like, yeah, that's probably right. Like, I'm like, it's the team in your town.
I don't think Trump follows baseball too much.
No. Trump follows anything.
By the way. Yeah, we can check out here, Williams. But did you guys do a bit on your story about Trump driving on the green at his own golf course?
Yeah, we already touched.
What was your take on that?
It's Trump. Does it really surprise you? You can do whatever the hell.
That's up there with putting like pouring beer on the flip cup table before you flip. It's just you're breaking unwritten rules.
My take was pretty simple in that if you own the course, you can do whatever you want.
Say he owns it, like. He owns it, and he's the president. Like, who's going to stop him from driving on the green?
Yeah.
He knows that.
It was not good tact, but what do we expect from Trump at this point? So, par
like
for the course.
He's stepping on the holes in the course. Yeah. Like,
doing all.
Taking a dump on hole 12.
Guys, thanks for the Zima. Apparently, I got some barbecue sauce out in the van. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, thank you for the birthday gift, gentlemen. Yeah. It was fun.
I'm going to try that. Do you guys want to plug a website or something before
check
you take
us
off?
Out at thetailgatesociety.com. Or you can look us up on iTunes, give us a good rating.
Ted and I will be doing a challenge preview podcast.
Yeah, I'm scheduling for
season 30.
Thursday after the 4th is what I'm going to put you in for.
Okay.
Thursday night. I have another girl that's a challenge expert. We can have a little fun.
You'll be sober. Yeah, you'll be sober by then.
She wrote the one piece with her Mount Rushmore.
Nicole Gustafson. Yep. Yeah. We're going to be on the corner booth. It's a nice drunken podcast. Most of them are.
Sweet.
Mark, I have to show you. I'm doing a little home improvement work. Up the value of the old Williams home, yeah.
Put urine on the bathroom?
Patio in the
did backyard. You remove those piss-covered sifter floors? Are you peed on your floor?
Yeah, those are long gone.
This is why you should put a urinal in your bathroom.
Well, part that, of the cinch, too, man. There's going to be
that some. Would help, by the way. Urinal.
Does that add property value?
It doesn't add value to have a urinal, but it does add wow factor, which
it,
is which
it,
is
it
good.
It adds like, all right, this dude's ready to play.
Yeah. One of the urinal, put a TV above the urinal.
One of the cooler things I ever seen, and it's literally the only time I've ever seen it. And there's a Cyclone connection. So Lane Danielson's my neighbor, two doors down. I don't think he did this in his new house, but in his old house, I happened to go tour it when it was for sale in Ankeny a few years back. And he had his gym and stuff. He's the only guy I've ever seen that had a drinking fountain in his house. Like an actual drinking fountain that you'd see in a school or anywhere else.
Nice.
I'd never seen a drinking fountain in a house before.
I love America.
I thought that was cool. God bless Lane Danielson.
How great America. Is it to just wake up and be an American?
It is. And Lane's neighbor. How great is that?
Yeah, he's got to enjoy his life.
Mow his yard with his shirt off.
Well, you know what? So here's the highlight for my wife, by the way. So my other neighbor, Jack Whitfer, he put in a pool.
I've seen him with his shirt.
So guess who gets the pool invite from
should
Jack
take,
all the time?
Should we take our shirts off?
Lane gets to go over to Jack's house all the time and swim with a shirt off. So it's a win-win for the whole neighborhood.
Smith, let's take our shirts off. I guess it's kind of that party.
It definitely, definitely is, fellas.
I'm going to be walking around Boji with my shirt off and my jean shorts on all weekend.
Just saying America the whole time.
Flip-flops
America.
And sandals.
Putting bush lights in the air. I love being an American.
Well, I hope you and your celebrity friend have a great time up there, and we'll try to we'll try to connect with you when we're up there, too.
We will connect. That will be fun.
It'll be a good time.
Get the kids together. Ted and Jared, love you guys.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll do anything you guys need. You know that. And then they'll be on Fanatics this afternoon, too.
Yep.
So
tell Trey to get that 10-second delay.
Yeah.
Oh.
we'll have a lot more beverages.
You
in
guys
our system.
Did well. I was impressed.
Don't worry.
You guys didn't let anything fly today.
Mark is going to tell you a little bit about real estate. This is some informative crap right here. I highly encourage you all to listen.
Hey, guys. Mark here again. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. We're having fun doing them. Hope you guys will keep listening. Want to talk to you today a little bit about what you should expect from your agent. This is different based on if you're buying or listing, but I just wanted to kind of summarize what to expect. We get a lot of questions when we list a house. You know, people are just confused. What exactly do we do? How are we going to help them? Here's the short answer. When you list your house with us or we help you buy a house, you should expect us to do basically everything. And that includes, obviously, the marketing. That includes lining up professional photography. If we're on the buying side, that includes lining up the listings, search the MLS for you and other sources to try to find you great properties. That includes contacting your lender, making sure your pre-approval is in place. Back on the listing side of things, we're obviously going to work with you on setting your price. We're going to coordinate showings with you. We're going to give you feedback on those showings. When you have an offer, we're going to fully negotiate that offer with you and for you. We're going to make sure all the paperwork is correct. Along comes an inspection. We're going to give you advice on whether you should fix some things or not fix some things. We're going to work on you with the appraisal. We're going to work on you with getting to closing on time and all the paperwork that needs to be done. Bottom line, guys, is when you work with a great agent, you should basically be able to take your hands off the wheel. That's what I tell people. That's what I believe. A lot of people are selling a house for the first time. They bought one already. They're selling it, and they really don't know what to expect. And maybe they've worked with a bad agent. That happens a lot. We talk to a lot of people that had a bad experience with an agent, and then we come along and they say, oh, my last agent didn't do that, didn't do this, et cetera. Guys, we know what we're doing. So there's not going to be a point in the process where something needs to get done and it isn't getting done. Sure, there might be times when you reach out and say, hey, what happens next? Because we haven't told you that part yet. And we're happy to answer those questions. We're happy to address that. It's part of what we do. But again, it's one of the reasons to work with an agent, whether you're buying or selling. There's a lot of things that happen in a real estate transaction. It's a long, long, long list that you'll probably never think about and probably never see. But just know that a good agent is doing those things behind the scene. They're watching the market for you to make sure if you need to drop your price or not. They're getting feedback from agents. They're doing lots of things behind the scene to help you sell. And again, I'm not just speaking about us. I'm speaking about good agents that are good at their craft. It's kind of like the analogy I use when you look at a real estate agent is like a duck on a pond. When you see them going across the pond above water, they look calm and peaceful. When you go underneath the surface, you see their legs churning a mile a minute. To propel them forward. And it's chaotic under the surface and it's peaceful above the surface. That's kind of like a real estate agent. A good one, when you look at them, it's going to look like they're not doing much. But really, most of what we do is underneath the water, behind the scenes, and we're doing a lot on your behalf to really earn that money and to make sure your transaction stays smooth, handle problems before you even know they exist, which is a big one. Frankly, we don't like to tell our clients about problems, and we deal with a lot of them before they ever even learn about them, and they never know about them, frankly. So if we make it look easy, we're actually exerting a lot of effort to make it look easy. So if you're with a good real estate agent and have had it, definitely appreciate them for what they do. There's a lot more work to this than people think. But yeah, I just want to let you guys know that agents, good ones, should be doing a lot for you so you can basically take your hands off the wheel, relax, and hopefully get it sold or find a great house to buy. All right, guys, that's it. As always, you can connect with us anywhere in the country if we can help you find an agent to help you buy or sell. Just contact us first. We'll refer you to somebody great in your area. And when we do that, they pay us, which helps us support Cyclone Fanatic. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.